verse, and then I'll let you sit down, and I'm going to try to preach or teach or maybe a little bit of both here tonight. Again, didn't you? I listened to some of Wednesday night service. I enjoyed so much Brother James teaching. It was excellent. I've got a lot of good feedback from that. And I think that our church and our young people are at a place where they're needing, you know, sometimes raising children, we just assume that they know. And I have to admit, even myself, there's a lot of things I know, but I don't really know the process of how it worked and the plan and the way God set it all up for it to work. But when we get a working knowledge and an understanding, then our young people can lead other people to Christ. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. So I don't know if that's which we won't be having Wednesday night service this week. We won't be back until next Sunday morning. But if that is something that Brother James does and wants to incorporate that sure will sound good to me. I wouldn't mind handing him a few Sunday night services if he wanted to just haul off and preach. Of course, he might just preach while he's teaching too. One verse, familiar. Let's read it together. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praise of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Somebody say marvelous light. Praise God. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. I want to use for a title tonight, Turning to Light. Turning to Light. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Just think about that for a moment. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is darkness. If you know people and you have friends and you have loved ones and associations and you work with them and you try to deal with them and you try to talk to them, you understand that they're not in the same place you are. They're not in the same room that you are. They don't have the same light that you have. Oftentimes, they just seem to be groping around in the darkness. And they know not. They know they have trouble. They know things is not right in their life. They know that there ought to be a better way. And it seems like there ought to be something better. But they just don't know at what they stumble. Praise God. You know, it would seem self-evident to me upon having to make a decision of a path on which to walk, that the choice would be so easy to make just to go into the well-lit path. That just seems like, I mean, when you're in the dark, and nowadays we want to get our cell phone and turn that flashlight on because we want to see where we're going. We don't want to stumble over something that there would be no need for us to if we was able to walk in the light. You know, but Christ reveals a profound truth concerning this observation as to the reason men choose to stumble in darkness. You will find that in that dialogue that Christ is having with Nicodemus in St. John chapter 3 and verse 19. That's that precious chapter. That's that wonderful verse that so many have memorized a few verses up. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm glad that Nicodemus came to Jesus. Do you realize that Nicodemus, because of the time and his standing and his position, came to Christ at night? He didn't want to be seen. I wonder what he's thinking when Christ just kind of opens him up and reveals that to him, this truth that I'm fixing to share with you in verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men loved, my, that seems strange, doesn't it? My previous statement. And men loved darkness. Men loved darkness. I can't take that in. I can't understand that men would love darkness rather than light. But Christ explains to him why they do. Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, brothers and sisters, this becomes the challenge of our generation, is to help people. I don't know exactly how to do it, but I'd like to learn, and I'd like to encourage you. How do we help people that we are around, that we talk to, that we influence? How do we get them to become lovers of the light? Amen. Oh yes, the word says, if I walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. But we can never walk together in fellowship unless we both love light. Amen. And if men do not love light and don't want light and don't want to walk in the light, then that causes a breach in fellowship. We cannot have fellowship. Amen. How many remember reading in Corinthians that we cannot have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness? Amen. Anybody seeing any of those things in our society around about us? Amen. Darkness, things that are in the dark, things that have a dark feeling. Amen. Oh yes, we're supposed to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. Praise God. You know, it's awesome to me to hear and to read the testimony of the Apostle Paul. I love it. And there's different places and different times that he relates his testimony. And I hope that I won't be preaching too much longer here tonight, but if you look into Acts chapter 24, we first see the name of a man mentioned in Scripture. He is a provincial governor, if you will, that has been given authority. He has no authority other than what Rome gives him. He is under Augustus Caesar. In chapter 24, you find his name first mentioned. It is Felix. Amen. In chapter 25, Perseus, Festus has come into the room of Felix. In other words, Felix's time has run out, or his space, or for whatever reason, maybe Caesar has pulled his governorship from that province, and so Festus has come into his place. Amen. Oh yes, into the room of Felix, or the place that Felix occupied. And both of these governors, I want you to hear me tonight, both of them have the same dilemma. They are holding a man. Now, try to get this. Felix has had him in his control. It's been in his jurisdiction, if you will. It's up to him to decide what to do about Apostle Paul. And he's heard him a couple times, but he don't know what to do with him. And so his time elapses and somebody else comes in, and as they're making that transition, something has to be said to Festus about Paul that's being held by Felix. Amen. And the problem, the underlying problem is that Paul is a Roman citizen. Now, I don't have time to go into all this, but that give him special privileges. Not all the Jews were Roman citizens, and Paul was a Jew, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I mean, he had a pedigree that was a mile long, as we would say sometimes, but he was a Roman citizen. Amen. And because of his preaching and declaring the resurrection, he got the Jews all upset. So the Jews thought they could hand him over to the Romans and make something up, and the Romans could condemn him and they wouldn't have the blood of another innocent man on their hands. Same bunch, same crew that had put Jesus to death, a lot of them. It's some of the same ones that's coming up against Paul. Amen. But the problem that Felix has is the same problem that Festus is going to have. They have no crime or no charge against Paul. So they're in a place they don't know what to do. That's the reason that they keep you know, every time a new governor comes to town or somebody takes over, they got to deal with Paul. We got Paul down here. He's a Roman citizen. We can't hold him forever. We've got, and a lot of our constitution, a lot of our government is derived from some of the things that they found worked way back in the Roman times, in the Roman Empire. Citizenship meant something. To be a Roman citizen gave you some clout and some protection and some rights, if you will. And so they realize we got a Roman. Yes, he is a Jew, but he's a Roman citizen, and we also are under Caesar. And if Caesar finds out we're holding a man that is uncondemned and has no charges against him, then he's going to have some odd against us. So they got a problem. Have I set this up well enough to help you understand? They got a problem. Paul is their problem because they're holding him in their jail. Amen. And I know I'm going to get off in the weeds way too much here, but the problem, the issue around the time that Christ was crucified, and then you have Stephen, and then you have Paul, and you have all these, is because the Jews were also under Rome. They didn't like it. But let me tell you something. The Romans worked the Jewish priesthood to get what they could out of them to get what they wanted done. And the Jewish priesthood worked the Romans even though they hated them with a passion. They would work with them if they could get it to work up and line up with what they wanted to do. That's how they got Christ crucified. It's because they tried to get the Romans to do it. Am I helping y'all? Are we doing all right so far? So, that's what they're working up against. I mean, the only thing is just some things that the Jews made up, because when Paul was in Jerusalem, it caused a stir among, you know, the places, the synagogues he was going in. So they didn't want to deal with it. They wanted to hand him over to the Romans. So we got a Roman citizen, and we got these two puppets, or these provincial governors, that have to deal with this Roman citizen that's in their jail that they can't hold forever, and they have no charges against him. Come on, stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this. Y'all figure this out after a while. So here, and then when you get on over to chapter 26, at the end of chapter 25, you find out that King Agrippa and Bernice, they come to town. Amen. You know, I agree, Brother Tommy. I really do think they wanted to hear, but also Festus wanted them to hear. We're going to have another hearing. Agrippa and Bernice is in town. We're going to have another hearing since they're here. And we're going to bring Paul in. And I understand. I've never understood this, so I was studying this just the last few hours. The reason that Festus wanted Agrippa and Bernice to hear what Paul had to say is because of the problem that Felix and Festus both had. They had no charges. Amen. And because Paul was a Roman citizen, he had already, Brother James, appealed to Caesar. So now that really puts them in a fix. They know that he's a Roman citizen and he can go and make his appeal to Caesar. And they know their hides are going to be in trouble if he gets to Rome and has no charges. No charges against him. Oh, I love this. When he was testifying before Felix, or Festus 1, I don't remember which one was. He said, I am void of offense between God and man. Isn't that a great testimony? Come on, church, work with me a little bit. Wouldn't that be a great testimony? I'm void of offense. Ain't nobody find nothing on me. But he did go on to say, he said, there's one thing that I will admit to after the way that they call heresy. And he's talking about the Jews. Come on, church. The way they call heresy. Amen. I stand up. I acknowledge that. That is the way I worship my God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. If they want to get me on heresy, then they got me. Praise God. But I will not surrender. I will not back down. I will not recant. I will not deny the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because he brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Somebody lift your hands in the house and say praise God. I believe that it's Ava. I believe that we can in this wicked hour that we're living in. I believe it's possible for God's people to live void of offense between God and man. We can have the favor of God. And we can have the acclamation. Amen. We can get along with our neighbors. We can get along with the people we do business with. Amen. We ought to be the sweetest and the kindest and the most honest. Amen. The people that we are, we can be void of offense. And Paul says, I ain't got a thing on me. Ain't got a thing on me. Last time I checked, there ain't no Roman law I broke when I'm worshiping Jesus Christ. They're trying to make up something and make it look bad so the Romans will get him in trouble. You know, you understand why. And Paul, I mean, we know that Paul was very studied in the law. See, Paul knew exactly what he was doing. That's the reason he appealed to Caesar. And put them boys in a bind because he had already appealed to Caesar and there wasn't anything they could do about it. How many knows the devil will try to drum up charges? Boy, I tell you what, this is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm not going to be able to preach all this. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's always trying to come up. You just watch Brother Hugh long enough and you'll find something. I mean, there'll be something in there I don't like about him. There'll be something that he does or something he says, something about Brother Todd I just don't like. And I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure I find something. Unfortunately, and the bad thing about it was the church folks that was trying to find something on Paul, but he said, I'm void of offense. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, somebody ought to praise God right now. I know I'm needing to move on from that, but I just can't get away from it. Amen. So we're going to have a hearing. The reason for the hearing, Agrippa, bless his heart, such a little puppet he was. Part Jew, amen. But he couldn't do anything unless Caesar gave him power. He was just as impotent as the rest of them, other than what the Romans gave him, allowed him to do. But maybe since he's a little more familiar with Jewish law, if we can have a hearing on Paul, and we know Paul's going to Rome. Another thing, that's what I want to tell you. Paul wanted to go to Rome so he could testify before Caesar. Come on, hey, how many remember even in some Holy Ghost meetings he got in and they took that girdle, the Spirit moved and there was revelation and said, the man that owns this girdle is going to be not only going to be bound in Jerusalem, but you know, and Paul said, I'm not only willing to go to Jerusalem and be bound. He said, the man that goes to Jerusalem, the man that owns this, he gets to Jerusalem, he's going to be arrested. He said, I'm not only ready to be bound. I'm ready to die, if that's what it takes. He knew he wasn't going to die. And I know we got Acts chapter 27. He gets in that shipwreck. A lot of things happen to him before he gets to Caesar. But he finally gets there. Anyway. But I got to get back here. Oh, my mind's going crazy here. I got to get back to this hearing here. Now we got Festus. And now all y'all, they come in with pomp, yeah. And Agrippa. And Bernice. And they're all ready for trial. Let's bring Paul in. Festus is hoping because Agrippa knows more about the Jewish law that Agrippa and Bernice will help him find something. Can you imagine trying to come under that magnifying glass? They're going to do their very best to try to find something that they can pin on Paul to send with him. So he'll have charges when he stands before Caesar. Anyway. Are y'all ready for me to read a whole bunch of verses now? Y'all doing okay so far? Oh man, so they're there. They're all listening. They're in a hearing. Paul said, verse number 9, I verily thought myself that I ought to do many things. Contrary, they give him, after they set it all up, okay, Paul, you can speak now. He said, I've done many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Acts chapter 26 and verse 10. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints that I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. It's hard to believe, isn't it? This great man done that to so many good people. and I punished them off in every synagogue. This is what Paul done. Compelled them to blaspheme and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even into strange cities. I went to other places. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission of the chief priest. Here we go now. Don't forget what I started out with. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I wish somebody helped me preach right now. At midday, praise God. Oh, King, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around about me and them that journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? I could preach right there for a while. My God, we could have revival if everybody in the church house, when we get in a good service like we was this morning, and the Holy Ghost shine the light around us, if we would say, Who art thou, Lord? And who am I? And what can I do? And what do you want me to do? Amen. And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand up on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and those things in which I will appear unto thee. I'm going to do some more for you, Paul, in the future. I've been delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I send thee. Back to my beginning verses. Listen to what Jesus revealed to him in the middle of that Damascus road to open their eyes and to turn them, read it with me, and to turn them from darkness to light, praise God, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Hallelujah. Would somebody give him praise in here this evening? Amen. Thank God for that glorious revelation. Thank God for the power of God moving on a man with murder in his heart, moving on a man that's going to do despite to the spirit of grace. Amen. He's already has a track record. He's already caused many to blaspheme. He's already hailed men and women into prison. He's already consented to the death of many of the saints of God. But now today's another day. The Holy Ghost has his attention. God has shined a light right in the middle of the road and stopped him in his tracks and said, I'm going to use you to turn the Gentiles. My God, that ought to make every one of us shout. Amen. Thank God that God used the Apostle Paul. Thank God he got Saul's attention to use him to bring a message of hope and revelation to the Gentiles. And that's who we are, church. Are you hearing me preach tonight? We're the ones, we're the recipients, praise God, of Paul's ministry. Thank God he turned us. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Why don't we take a few seconds and give him praise? Amen. He turned Saul in the middle of the road from darkness to light. And I'm going to give you a ministry that's going to turn other Gentiles from darkness to light. Praise God, saints of God. Nobody can give your testimony like you can. Nobody can tell what God's done for you like you can. Nobody can give your testimony, sister, like you can. Hallelujah. I've tried it a time or two in other places, and I can't give it like you can. Don't ever let the devil beat you down about your testimony, because nobody can give it like you can. I've heard my dad say many times. I remember that Monday night in August. Oh, hallelujah. Boy, I still love to hear him say it. Monday night in August. I come in, told mom, 16 years old, I heard they're having a revival down the road and I'm going to go. She said, I'm going with you. Oh, hallelujah. I like to tell it. I know it. I've heard it so many times, but I can't tell it like he can. Anyway. So here we got a puppet king. It's part Jew, knows a little bit, probably knows just enough to be dangerous. Trying to make up some false charges on Paul because he's appealed to Rome and he's going. They got to make sure there's some legitimate legal standing to be tagged to go with him. Amen. Oh, come on, church. Amen. Have you ever come up against something or somebody that they meant to do you harm? They meant to do you hurt. But before that hearing was over, even the old King Agrippa said, Paul, no. Yeah, Paul. Forget about drumming up false charges. Boy, you're just about to persuade me. I'm just about to get saved in here. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Somebody give him praise. Oh, I'm telling you, nobody can do it like you can. Nobody can tell it like you can. No, nobody can give your testimony like you can. Oh, thank you, Jesus. All of us preachers over and over and over, like I've tried tonight to tell about the Apostle Paul and how great his testimony is. But I can't do it with the same power and effectiveness that he did. Amen. We can't find any charges. We can't come up with anything. Amen. But I know enough about the Jewish religion. And I know enough. This is what I think Agrippa's saying. I know enough about the Pharisees. You know, the Pharisees did believe in angels and spirits, and they did believe in resurrections. Now, the Sadducees, they didn't believe in any of that stuff. Amen. But Paul was a Pharisee, and he did believe it. Amen. And I think he believed that Agrippa believed it. And he said, you know what happened, Agrippa? This thing wasn't done in a corner. We didn't try to hide it. Jesus didn't try to hide it. And you know what happened at Jerusalem. Man. You know, he tried for a while. Paul, we know you. We've heard about you. We know you're an educated man. Much learning has made you mad. You've lost your mind, man. You went crazy. He said, man, I'm not mad. I'm not crazy. And you wouldn't be either if you'd have been with me that day, because every one of those guys heard it, and we all fell on the ground. We was on that Damascus road. We was going to hail men and women. Somebody, Brother James, can you get us a song? Can you think of something? I'm almost done. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. But Agrippa, I'm telling you the truth, man. I mean, I just only imagine the power, the persuasiveness that apostle had. There was a light shined stronger, brighter than the sun in its strength. And I fell to the ground. And I heard a voice say, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Well, I'm telling you what. You know what I believe? I'm preaching what I believe. I believe conviction begin to move in that courtroom. All that pomp and all that big to do. Amen. I'm ready for you. All of it meant nothing when conviction was moving on Agrippa and Bernice and Festus. Amen. Oh. I'm telling you, they were under conviction. And Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul said, would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and all together such as I am. Hey, Agrippa, if you want to do something for me, why don't you bring the key on over here and take these bonds off? I'd like to be loose from that. If I could change anything, that's what I'd change. I think that's what he's saying. When he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor and Bernice and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, again, you get the feeling of how these guys are boxed in. They're in a fix. This man's done nothing. Here I am again, void of offense. This man's done nothing. Worthy of death or bonds. We shouldn't even be holding him. We shouldn't even be locking him up. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Again, Bernice, Festus, Felix, none of them understood. It was in Paul's heart. That's the difference right there. It was in Paul's heart to go to Rome. Even though the Spirit moved in different good Holy Ghost meetings in Antioch and different places, what was going to happen? He said, I'm going. I'm going to go to Rome because he wanted to testify. I wonder about us. Is our religion deep enough? Is our conviction deep enough that no matter what, no matter how bad it hurts me, no matter how uncomfortable it makes me, no matter how much I don't want to, no matter how much it's going to disrupt my life, no matter how much it's going to change everything, I want to go where I can be a witness. There's a wicked emperor that governs and rules from Rome, and I intend to stand in his court one day. Hey, I want to ask y'all something. What do you think that Paul wanted to say to Caesar? Anybody want to guess? I'll tell you what he's waiting on, Brother Todd. I think he's waiting on to get Caesar and say, Caesar, I was on the road to Damascus. Same testimony. He wanted to give it. He wanted Caesar to hear it. Such a powerful testimony. Hallelujah. Brother Robbie, I heard my grandmother time and time and time and time again, especially probably the last 25 years of her life. Y'all hearing me preach tonight? Probably Brother Hugh, and you could vouch, you worshiped with her. Probably the last 25 years of her life, almost without fail, every testimony, I'm glad to be saved. I'm a happy Christian. Brother Willie back there, y'all would have called him the church mothers. That's what Granny was. She's one of the church mothers. She said, I was given up to die with TB. It wasn't one time, it was almost every time. They come and got me, took me away from my family, took me down there. No other reason but just to separate me, quarantine me till I died. Amen. But God sent me down there. She'd say it over and over and over. Amen. Same reason. Same thing that's working on the Apostle Paul. She said, God sent me to that place to testify to an infidel doctor and tell him, amen, God's the one that brought me out of here. Amen. That was a place they went to die. That was the reason they sent him there. Not too many people ever walked out of that place. And that doctor that claimed he didn't believe in God had to sign her health papers and watch her walk out of that death ward. Amen. She said, that's the reason I had to go through that. Because I needed to go testify to a doctor that says he don't believe in God, don't believe there is a God. I'd say that doctor never forgot it the longest day he lived. But there was one woman that walked out of this death camp. And she was giving glory and praise to God. Boy, I wonder what would happen tonight if we all stood up, and it's all right if you want to do it. I wonder what would happen if we'd all stand up right now and just think about what God's done for us and think about our testimony. Come on, and just start giving Him praise. Why don't you just do it for a minute or two? Think about where you was when He found you. Think about how pitiful you was before you met the Lord. Think about your own Damascus Road experience. Just think about it for a moment. Again, all through this service we've sang and talked about Thanksgiving. Oh, come on, we got time. I know they're going to sing. Let's just take maybe a minute. Just maybe a minute. Right here. We won't gather again until after Thanksgiving. Thank God we're saved. Thank God we're healed. Thank God we're whole. Thank God we live in this great country. Thank God we're saved. Thank God we're sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Man, we're healed and delivered and encouraged. And God is the same. And your testimony can be effective. And it will if you'll do it with a prayer. Praise, thank God. Go on and praise Him. Go on and praise Him. It's precious to me when I hear your voice. I love seeing your hands in the air. And we're magnifying the name of Jesus. Amen. We're telling everybody, every place we go, thank God. I'm delivered. I'm saved. I'm void of offense between God and man. I'm redeemed. Thank God. I'm walking in the light as He is in the light. I have fellowship with the saints of God. And everybody that's really born again, I have fellowship. I have something in common. I have something I want to talk to them about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't you feel the atmosphere changing in here? It's all right to praise Him. You can praise Him where you're at. You can praise Him where you're standing. You can praise Him around the altar. You can praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the evening. Praise Him at the noonday. Praise Him while you're on your job. Witness to those that don't know Him. They're stumbling in darkness. They know not at what they stumble. They don't understand. They're in a dark place. Show them the light, my friends. Show them.
What He's brought you through.
Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Oh, I like what I feel right now. I'm enjoying what I'm feeling right now in this service. I feel the presence of God. I know He's shining upon us tonight. Walk, my friend. Young person, young family, walk in the light. Bring your children to church. Bring them to Sunday school. Teach them in the light. Praise God.
No other can.
Oh, we're blessed.
Look what God.
The altars are open if you want to worship up here around the front.
For you.
Or if the Lord's helping you right where you're at, you just help yourself.
What God has done for you.
No offense.
What
no charges. How many remember Daniel? The king said, if we find anything on him, we'll have to find it concerning his God. He also is a man that is void of offense. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel so good here tonight. Oh, if it's all right with y'all, I'm just going to bask in His presence for a little while. If it's all right, I'm just going to worship Him. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 holy. Is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His glory. I magnify Him. I praise Him. I lift up the name of Jesus. I'm glad He turned me around. I'm glad He put me on the upward road.